Today's guest doesn't read Shakespeare. He decodes it. Peter Jensen believes he has discovered name and number code in Shakespeare's sonnets. He's been researching the controversial code since 2001, thinks he's discovered a way to reveal secrets hidden by the master writer, and he's willing to show you if you give him any chosen sonnet. Jensen is a college English instructor at Lynn Benton Community College, where he teaches writing and, of course, Shakespeare. He is an independent scholar and a published poet. And today he joins us to talk about code cracking and some of the secrets of William Shakespeare. Peter Jensen, welcome to the Northwest Passage.
Thank you, Tiffany.
So what made you decide to start looking for codes in Shakespeare's work?
Well, I teach community college students, and they can be very pushy. They wanted to know who Shakespeare loved and who he slept with, and I could not answer these questions. So I went looking, and I wanted to see if he had autobiographical material in the sonnets and the plays. And I found the name of the Dark Lady scrambled twice in Sonnet 151, which is sort of a bedroom sonnet, and I started with that one, and I fell out of my chair, and I said, now what? And so ever since then, I've been researching the Secret Service of the Elizabethan Secret Service and the codes they used and Marlowe used. And by gosh, he uses a substitution transposition code that the spies used. And so once you got the system, then you can find other pieces. And I've found thousands of pieces in two books now of code, naming code, a number code, date code.
Why would Shakespeare be interested in hiding information in there or putting it in another level of the information?
Well, he lived in a very dangerous time. What his young patron and lord, who was an ancestor of Princess Diana, Lord Henry Wriothesley, was in one faction and he had enemies. He was very close to Henry Wriothesley and dedicated poems to him. Henry Wriothesley, I believe, is the young man of the sonnets. He was also having an affair with the Dark Lady, who we all know is sort of Shakespeare's Mona Lisa. I think she's Amelia Bassano Lanier from a big musical family, played music for the king and queen. And he names her, but of course he's married and got kids at home. All sorts of comic things and tragic reasons. And then his mother dies in 1608, and there's a new king. And his friends are back in power, and he feels safe. So he publishes in 1609.
Let me ask you, so with decoding anything comes controversy.
Of course,
yes. So have other scholars tried to debunk your research? Have you?
I wish, no. I'm waiting for a PhD response, although Kim Stafford of Portland and Lance Sparks of the Eugene Weekly and several PhD candidates like my work, and my students like my work, I would love to debate. And so I invited people from the University of Oregon and others who love Shakespeare and his sonnets to come to an event and read their favorite sonnets and debate me. And I'll tell them what code I see in their favorite sonnets.
Well, as any student of poetry is likely to tell you, read a poem again and you'll find some other meaning to it. Just by the circumstances of the timing of the reading or what else might be on your mind. How is that different than code?
Well, that's there too. Shakespeare's really deep and he's intellectual and he's got a lot of stuff going on. But in the Renaissance, other code makers were there. Leonardo put his thumbprint in every one of his paintings. Leonardo punned on his own name, Lion Ardor. Michelangelo put his lovers' names into his poems and in code. Those are just the Italians. Then you get up to Sir Philip Sidney, who mentions his lover, a married woman, Penelope Rich. So you've got other poets doing it too, but Shakespeare's the code game. He's the gamer and the code master, I think.
Is Shakespeare code for some other person who actually wrote those?
No, I'm not going there. I'm what's called a Stratfordian, and I believe that if my code is right, Shakespeare of Stratford names himself and his family and his children and everybody who's important to Shakespeare of Stratford.
just, I know it's going to be offered for folks to come in and share their, hand the sonnet to you and ask for some examples. Can you give us a quick example here today, a way that you might take a word or a phrase and decode it in your with your methodology?
Sure. My wife, Sandy, has helped me a lot in this. For instance, we were sitting at the dinner table, and there's a sonnet 14, and it has the word astronomy in it. And she said, so is there any code in that? And I'm looking, and there comes Thomas Digges, a great friend of Shakespeare's, the greatest astronomer of his time. Twice, the name is first and last names are braided in the sonnet. He does it twice. He doesn't do it three times. He doesn't do it once. He does it twice, so when you pick up on it, you say, oh, there it is. Digges and his father were famous in England for astronomy, and 30 years ahead of Galileo with their telescope, but they didn't publish. So Shakespeare knew these people, and he put their philosophy into Hamlet, the infinite universe bound in a nutshell.
When you say it's braided in there, what does that mean?
Well, you know, an anagram is a scrambled name with same letters, but he embeds it in the lines, and then you have to find it embedded mm-hmm. twice, like Amelia Lanier is embedded. Amelia is embedded. She spells her name A-Y and B-E, Amelia Bassano, and the word betray comes twice. So you've got A-Y, A-Y, B-E, B-E, and then you've got all the rest of her name. And that sonnet has the line which has the word name in it, but rising at thy name doth point out thee. And I said, where the heck does he point her out? Does he really name her? And I believe he does.
So this has totally renewed your interest, your fascination, your scholarship of Shakespeare.
Yeah. I grew up in New York City with going to Free Shakespeare in the Park, and I've read all his plays, and I've taught a lot of stuff. But this has changed my perspective. I don't do only this in class, so I also do everything else that everybody's supposed to do and watch good, fun movies, too.
Good, yes. The Da Vinci Code by chance, no?
Oh, yes, I love it. I'm going to teach the novel next fall.
Right. So you've written two books, and the first one being so much fun, I guess, you just went ahead and named it again the same. So you've written two volumes. Is there a book three in the works?
Well, I have more insights, and what I'm going to do is combine the two books together this summer and publish them together. These two books are out, Secrets of the Sonnets, Shakespeare's Code, Book 1 and Book 2, are out on Amazon.com already, and they'll be available at local bookstores, including Tsunami, where the event is.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to come by and decode with us a little bit. This Friday, Peter Jensen will be celebrating the 400th anniversary of the publication of Shakespeare's sonnets. It's a free event at Tsunami Books in Eugene, and folks are encouraged to bring their own copies of the sonnets so they can test Jensen's abilities to find codes within any chosen one. The event is from 8 to 9:30.